Today we're going to learn Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph of Masechet Shabbos. We are holding on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We had a Machlokas Amoraim previously with the fact that the Mishnah allows being metaltel a hammer of sorts to break open nuts. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, the heter is only for a hammer that's meant for that purpose. So it's klisha melacht leheter. And according to Rabbi, the heter is even if it's like a blacksmith's hammer that's meant to do melachos on throughout the week, and you're still allowed to use it to break open nuts on Shabbos. So it's a klisha melacht leiser. So the Gemara brings deos that the Mishnah is dealing even with a klisha melacht leiser, and the uman is makbid not to use it for anything else. Itmar Rabbi Baraba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kornos Shel Zahavim Shaninu. We're even talking about a hammer that's used by goldsmiths that you're allowed to be metaltel in order to break open nuts, even though people are normally makbid. Goldsmiths are normally makbid not to use their hammers for anything else, because they need it to be very smooth and in good condition in order to deal with the gold properly. So nevertheless, a person does not consider it to be totally muktza, like something that cannot be used, that will not be used on Shabbos, because you are able to fix it if the smoothness gets ruined. You can bang it on something smooth and fix it. Rav Shem Bar Abba Amar Kornos Shel Besamim, that those who sell spices, even the hammer of those who sell spices, even though normally the owners of such hammers are also makbid not to use it for other things, in order that it should be clean and that the besamim shouldn't get ruined from the hammer. But according to both of them, you're allowed to use such a kornos. Certainly you're allowed to use a kornos shel nafachim. Certainly you're allowed to use a blacksmith's hammer, because a blacksmith doesn't really care if his hammer is used for other things. So man diamar de besamim kol shekein de zahavim. The one that says you're allowed to use a spice seller's hammer would say for sure a goldsmith's hammer, which they're less makbid about. Man diamar shel zahavim avol de besamim kapit alayhu. And the one that says you're allowed to use a goldsmith's hammer would say, yeah, but for a spice seller's hammer, they're going to be more makbid about it, because it could really ruin the taste and can ruin the spices, so that they're going to be more makbid about. Vesa kush vesa karkar. The Mishnah said a kush and a karkar to be to puncture with it. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, paga, if you have a fig that is not ripened as much as it needs to be, shetmona bateven, that you insulate it with hay, with straw, in order that it should become, it's like when you put it in a brown paper bag in order that something should ripen. So they would put it in straw in order that it should ripen. And the tevin, the straw itself, is mukta. The charara, if you have a bread that's baked on coals, shetamana begachalim, that is insulated with coals all around it, and you want to take the item from inside all that mukta stuff. So im megula mukta so metaltel. If part of it is exposed, so then you're allowed to be metaltel it, because it's not even tiltel minat, because you don't have to move the muksa items, just grab the part that's exposed and take out the bread from the coals, take out the fig from the straw, the imlav. And if you're not able to move, if it's not exposed at all, and therefore the only way to get it is by moving aside the muksa items, asa l'taltala, then you're not allowed to be metaltala. Reb Lezer ben Tadai Yomer, toch vin bakush o bakarkar, vehin menuaros me'aleim. Now you can take like a toothpick, a fork, stick it into the pile till you stick it into the fig, and then the tevin and the gechalim will fall away on their own, and that way you're allowed to do it. That's called tiltul min atzad, and tiltul min atzad is mutter. So I'm Rav Nachman halacha Rav Lazar ben Tadai. We paskin like Rav Lazar ben Tadai. The memor the sub Rav Nachman tiltul min atzad lo shmei tiltul. Does this mean to say that Rav Nachman holds that it's not a violation of mukta when you do tiltul min atzad? From Rav Nachman high pugla, a certain radish that is detached, that you put into the ground to be matminit in the ground, and part of it is exposed. So milamalu lamata shari. If you want to pull it away from the ground, from up to down, it's mutter. Meaning, if the radish is hidden in the ground in a way that the top part of the radish, which is the wider part of the radish, is higher up, and the bottom part of the radish is lower down into the ground, so when you pull it out, you're going to take the top part out first, and then the bottom part. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, because since the wider top part is what's exposed, when you pull it out of the ground, you're not really being metaltel any dirt. But mimata lemala aser. But if it's wider at the bottom, so when you pull it out by the narrow end, it's going to move around all of the dirt, and that's going to be aser, even though that's total minatzad. Apparently he holds it's going to be aser. So this is a stira in Rav Nachman. Does Rav Nachman hold total minatzad is mutter? Like it sounds like he holds when he says you could take a toothpick and stick it into the fig that's mutman in all of this hay. Or does he hold total minatzad is mutter, like he said, or does he hold that total minatzad is aser, rather like it seems to be saying when it comes to the radish that's underground? So hadbir Rav Nachman me'ahi. You have to say that Rav Nachman changed his mind from what he originally said about the radish, and ultimately he was matir tiltul minatzad, and that's why paskins like Rabbi Lazar ben Tadai. Machat shel yad litol ba. We said in the Mishnah, you're allowed to take a needle, a small needle, to remove a splinter. So shaluch le Rava b'reid Rabbi l'Rav Yosef. Yilam den Rabbeinu, machat shenital charara, a needle that the hole at the top of the needle is removed from it. O uktza, or the sharp, pointy part of the needle is removed. Mahu, are you allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos? Is it still considered a kli, and therefore it's mutar betiltal? Or do we say that it loses the shame kli? And this is something that's important to know about muktza. Anything that you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos pretty much has to fit into the category of either ochel or kelim. If it's neither ochel nor kelim, then usually it's mukta. So if the needle is broken to the point where it's no longer a shame kli, then it's going to be mukta. So amalei tenisuas, Rav Yosef says, we learned this in the Mishnah already. Machat shal yad litol ba eshakot, that you're allowed to be metaltal machat shal yad to remove a splinter. V'chi machvet leilakot beinukuva lebein. So obviously, if it's a splinter-removing needle, it's not a sewing needle. It doesn't matter if it has a hole at the end of the needle. That's just for thread. So obviously, we see that you're allowed to be metaltel a needle even if it doesn't have the hole at the end. So ask the Gemara. Rava Breid Rabba asks Rav Yosef. It says in the Mishnah, in the 13th parak of Maseches Kelim, Machat shenital charara ukta tahora, that machat that the that one end or the other is taken off of it, it's tahora. So you see that it's no longer a shame kli, and if it's no longer a shame kli, it should be muksa. Am Rabbi Tuma Shabbos Kramis. You're asking a stira between Tuma and Shabbos. Tuma kli ma'asa be'ino. In order to have a shame kli with regard to Tuma, it needs to be a kli ma'asa, meaning that the original intent of when they made that kli of what it should be used for should still be intact. Now, obviously, if either end of the needle is missing, it can't be used for what it was initially intended to be used for. But linyan Shabbos, midi dechazi be'inan v'hanami chazi l'mishkala b'kotz. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, I don't care what the original intent is, as long as it has some use. So it is usable to remove a splinter. Amar Rava, man de kamosav shaper kamosav. So Rava says, you know, the one who asked Rav Yosef, who was matu tiltul machat that the chararo or the choda of the machat was removed, which is Rava Breda Rabba, asked a really good question, because midilinya tuma lav manahu linya Shabbos nami lav manahu. He says really they are parallels, that the halachos of tuma and the halachos of Shabbos, as far as what's called a kli, should really be the same. So says Mar, is that really true that they're equivalent to each other? The halachos of what's called a kli for tuma and what's called a kli for Shabbos, meisvei machat bein nekuva bein sheinu nekuva matul tatla b'Shabbos. If you have a needle, whether it has a hole in one end or whether it doesn't, you're allowed to be matatla on Shabbos. V'lo amru nekuva elin tuma b'lvad. The whole idea of nekuva is only with regard to tuma. So we're understanding that ein nekuva is talking about a machat that once had a hole at the end but it was removed, and legabe tuma it loses its shame. Whereas the Gabe Shabbos and Einu Nekuva is Mutzah B'Tiltul. So you see, like Rav Yosef and Abaye, and not like Rava, who equates Shabbos and Tumah. So answers the Gemara, Targuma Abaye, Alibi de Rava, Begolme Askinan. That Abaye understands, according to the Shita of Rava, the Brisa is talking about Golme Machtim, meaning that it has never had a hole made in it yet. So the when it's Nekuva, that's the Gemar Malacha of the of the kli. If it's not yet nekuva, they never yet made a hole at one end of the kli, it just means the kli's not done being made yet. And that's why the Braisa distinguishes between Shabbos and Tuma. Because with regard to Tuma, machat she'inu nekuva is not called a kli because it's not kli ma'aseh, because it hasn't been completed yet. But with regard to Tiltul and Shabbos, even if it's not nekuva, you're allowed to be metaltel it, because zimnin demimlech layo mashvi luhu mana. Sometimes a person might change his mind and say, you know what, I'm not going to be menakev it I'm not going to make a hole at one end of it. I want to leave it like it is, and I'll just use it as a splinter removing needle. So as far as Tiltul Shabbos is concerned, that's enough to make it a kli. But if it was a kli that had a hole in the end, or it had a point, and then it was removed, then a person would just throw it out. And if a person would just throw it out, it would lose its shame kli, both with regard to Tuma and with regard to Shabbos. So it says the Gemara, last little piece over here, the Gemara brings machlokas that relates to taking out a splinter on Shabbos. Asoche yenuka, in order to smooth out straighten out the limbs of a baby. When the baby is born, he needs a straightening of his limbs. They wrap him really tight. Rav Nachman asar, Rav Shesha shari. Rav Nachman says, you're not allowed to do that. Rav Shesha says, you are. So I'm Rav Nachman minah minila. How do I know that there's an isser of fixing a person's body? It's not, because the Mishnah says, ein osin apak tevizin b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to drink something that makes you throw up on Shabbos. We're talking about, you're not doing it for refuah, you're doing it to empty your stomach so that you can eat and drink more. And nevertheless, it's usur because you're being misak in the guf. So you see that there's an isur of tikkun of a guf of a person on Shabbos. So l'chorahu adin to straighten the baby's limbs. So Rav Sheshes would respond to you, hasam lav orche, hacha orche. No, by the apik tovizin, that's not normal for a person to do, and therefore it's considered like a tikkun aguf and it's usur. But over here, it's normal. It's the derech to do that to a baby, and therefore it's just like feeding a baby or giving a baby to drink. Well, that's not called tikkun aguf, even though it's obviously physically very important for him, because it's just a regular maintenance kind of thing. It's not an unusual activity to do to make a person's body better. Amrav sheshes mina aminala. How do I know what I said, that there's no iser in straightening the limbs of a baby? It's not, because the Mishnah says, machat shal yad litol ba'asakot, that you're allowed to use a needle that's by hand in order to take out a splinter. Rav Nachman hasam pakit hachalo pakit. Rav Nachman would say, you can't compare the two cases. By the splinter, it's not attached to the body, it's just laying there under the skin. So by and putting the needle into the basar, it's not being mekalkel the guf itself, and therefore, meaning by having the splinter there, it's not really mekalkel the guf. So removing it is not a tikkun of the guf. But when you arrange the limbs of the baby, there's something inherently flawed about the baby prior to that, and now you are fixing the baby, and that is therefore considered a real tikkun to the guf of the baby. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the top Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis next time.